If you opened your family cabin this weekend, I'll bet you walked through that old wooden door and felt the brush of childhood memories. They're the kind of memories that writer Sarah Stonich was determined to create for her son when she and some friends bought a remote, misbegotten, and scraggly piece of land up north. They would eventually build a cabin and come to love their northern escape, in spite of, or maybe because of, its complications. Sarah writes, "Places look better from far away, except they aren't. And I'm not the only person drawn by the perceived romance of this place, taken in by it, thrilled by it, disillusioned by it, or even spat out by it. It's tough here." Sarah Stonich's new book is titled Shelter, and she joins us this morning from Minneapolis. Hi, Sarah. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Hey, Carrie. It's great to be here. I'm a huge fan, you know.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
So you wrestle with this idea of being in thrall to the North. And I have to say, I think this is something that we outsiders, people who weren't raised in Minnesota, really don't understand. So explain it for me. How's it work?
Well, I think the places that we live in, the places almost become maybe a little bit of a part of us. Whether we want them or not, you know, whether it's the best place for us to be or not. But I think particularly about northern Minnesota, there is something about the landscape that is very much of a draw for me. You know, those ledge rocks and the moss and the white pine trees. And in the same way that maybe Ireland would be a pull towards someone, just the landscape is one of the big things. And history and memory.
And Sarah, I mean, it's cold. It's buggy. It snows in June sometimes up there. I don't get it.
Some days I don't get it myself. And there are better times to be there than others. And our little place is just three seasons, so we don't deal with like the really tough winter time or those crazy temperatures. I tend to spend most of my time there in the fall when it is truly beautiful. You can't get any better than a fall day up there with blue sky, and it's cool. The bugs are dead. It's wonderful.
You mentioned the memories, and any place, I think, where you grew up or you experienced, you know, wonderful long summers as a kid holds a special draw. Tell me about some of the memories that you have of going up to the family cabin on Lake Vermilion and why you wanted to, in some ways, recreate that for your son.
Well, my son did not have a relationship with his grandfather. They were never able to meet. And because the lake was such a big deal to us kids, it was a wonderful childhood experience. From, you know, just from the packing of the car to the fishing and learning how to swim or being bribed with a quarter to see who can swim to the raft when we were learning how to swim. All of those memories are things that I would like to impart in some way to my son and give him a sense of what that was like. How a person can be really drawn to a place, sometimes even just by physical memory. And I think he gets it. I think I've been able to impart that to a certain degree because now I see him making some of the same associations
really?
When he's there, when he's in a hammock reading or just sitting in the kayak staring, you know.
Do you ever ask yourself whether the memories that you think you have of those summer days are true, or are they something that, because they're so pleasurable to revisit, that you've embroidered on, that, you know, that you've changed them somehow?
Well, sure. And in the process of writing a memoir, the thing that I have learned is memory is flawed. It's quite flawed.
Right.
And I think we come away from our oldest memories and our youngest memories more with a sense of the time and a sense of that experience, much more so than what actually happened, who said what you ate, you know, where you went. To me, it's more of an organic sort of process So it is a memoir, and it is full of memories, but as we know, memories are pretty liquid.
I think that's a really great way to describe it, that again, it is more of that sense of the time spent and the kind of the depth of that experience than on this day we did this and, oh, that was great, and, you know, that kind of thing.
And I wonder about memoirists who are able to do that, to recreate conversations or just be so assured in how they're seeing it. And most people have a better memory than I do. So I'm not surprised.
Tell me where the land actually is, because there will be listeners who recognize very well this part of the state.
Right. Well, earlier you had mentioned Lake Vermilion. That was my family's place.
Right.
The place that we're in now is between Tower and Ely. There's some beautiful parks around there. It's where the new state park is going to be.
Oh.
Right around there.
Okay.
And then there's this beautiful Bear Head Lake State Park, Bear Island. I could be getting that wrong. And that's a beautiful state park with Eagle's Nest Lake and a few other little lakes. We are on a tiny lake. Tiny.
How tiny?
So small. And this is the best part. It's so small that no one goes out in motorboats.
That's nice.
If you took a jet ski there, you couldn't actually drive it even down the center of the lake because of the setback laws of how you drive a jet ski. There is one older couple who have a pontoon boat, and they take it out once a year for sort of a cocktail cruise where they pick people up on their docks.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love your description of seeing this land from afar the first time, and I wondered if you'd recreate that for our listeners. What did it look like?
It didn't look like a whole lot. we had spent a couple hours tromping and getting lost by the time we got there. And so we took like this quick cursory look across the lake where all you could really see was a pretty steep slope of red pine and white pine, and then sort of the clincher for us was this granite outcropping that you could call an island, pretty much,
mm-hmm.
in that sort of craggy, twisted little trees, because it's so